It's good to be with you again tonight, and it's good, as I've already been saying, good to have my good friend Brother Jimmy Blanton here. I don't have many friends, so I just have to claim the ones I got when they do show up, so everybody knows it. And Jimmy's not real particular. I don't have many friends, and he's not particular who his friends are, so that just works. It works well. He does what I do here, and I do it there in LaGrange. Except I do it a whole lot better than he does as far as association of missionary work. But I'm just kidding, brother. And my darling wife. Somebody may not know who my sweet darling wife is. Hold your hand up there. That's my good-looking wife right there, Mary Ann. Tonight I want to turn your attention to about three passages of Scripture. And it might be one of those sermons tonight where you just pick out any verse in the Bible you want to and just hang on and I'll pick you up when I come back. We may preach the whole Bible tonight, I don't know. But I want you to put your fingers in these three passages of Scripture. First, all of them's going to be in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 19 through 22. And then 1 Samuel 10, chapter 1, and then 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. And I'll give you those again and then give them to you before I read them again, too. Again, they're 1 Samuel 8, 19 through 22, 1 Samuel 10, verse 1, and 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. Now, I will ask you to, especially be in prayer for me tonight. A lot of times when, now I'll let a secret out of the bag for us preachers. A lot of times when we preach revival services, sometimes we'll go back to a sermon that preached real good or God anointed and we'll take that. But God has not let me go that route tonight. You're getting the first cut, the first run of a brand new sermon. So we'll either be the hero or the goat, probably one or the other. So I don't know, but you just pray for me. And if you'll pray and do your part, then I'll do my part, and we know that God will do his part. And I'll ask you to stand while we read these scriptures. 1 Samuel chapter 8, starting with verse 19. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, "Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king." And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, "Go ye every man into his city." And now I want you to turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil, and poured it upon his head, and kissed him, and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" Now reading 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Tonight, the Lord has laid a sermon on my heart that I have entitled, "Little Bottles or Big Horns." Little Bottles or Big Horns. You pray with me. Father, I come to you tonight, Lord, thanking you, God, first and foremost, for the privilege to be here, to stand and to bring your word as you've given me to these your people, Lord. Now, Father, I pray tonight for that anointing that comes only from you, Lord, to do what I know you've called me to do in life, Lord. God, I don't understand it. I just know that you've called. And Lord, I pray your blessings upon that and your anointing tonight. And Father, I pray for the anointing to come as that we might be listeners, Lord, that we might hear your word. And then, God, for the anointing that we might become doers of your word. Now, Lord, I don't know these people's heart tonight. Father, I'm not you. But Lord, I do pray if there be one here tonight that's not saved, that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that tonight would be the night you'd touch their hearts. And Lord, if there be those who may be cold and indifferent or Lord, maybe those who just need to hear a word of encouragement, I pray, God, that you'd take this message tonight and speak in these ways to your people. God, let us hear in the manner that we need to hear. And Lord, I just come to you and thank you again tonight, Lord, for the good things I've heard that you're doing at this church. I pray you'd continue it, Lord. Let revival continue even tonight. God, would you do a mighty work in this place? Lord, would you send your angels? God, station them around the corners of this place that the wicked one couldn't hinder. And sweet Holy Spirit, we invite you in. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Little bottles or big horns? We have set before us tonight the story of two kings, both anointed to be kings by one prophet. Now, these two kings represent the two wills of God. Now, I'm going to tell you what the thesis of my sermon is right up front so that you don't have to wonder as you go through the service, what's this man preaching about? Don't you wish that every preacher would do that for you? Amen. I heard a story. Some of you know Preacher Mike Reeves, not the Second Baptist Preacher Mike Reeves, but the one in LaGrange, Preacher Mike Reeves. He preaches on the television. And he was talking to me one day. He said, "Oh, Aaron," said, "I preached this sermon and recording it for TV." He said, "I had 5 points to that sermon." He said, "I didn't get but one of them in on the TV." And old Max McCord, pastor at Rosemont, was in earshot. And he turned to Mike and he said, "Mike, I watched that sermon," and said, "You don't know how thankful I am just to hear that you had a point to that sermon." Amen. I've been there myself and done that. Amen. But I want to tell you tonight what this sermon is about. It's about two things: the permissive will of God and the perfect will of God. That's what I'm going to preach about tonight. We experience the permissive will of God when he allows us to experience things that we want in the way that we want them instead of what he wills for our lives. Now, there's nobody other than Aaron McCullough in this place tonight who's ever been guilty of saying, "God, this is the way I want it. This is when I want it." Amen. I'm the only one that's ever done that. You've never done that. But that, a lot of times, you know, you heard the old saying, you better be careful what you pray for. Because sometimes God will give it to you. And sometimes God lets you do stupid things. Amen. He will. I could go a long time on that. Probably we never would get out of this service if I started telling all the stupid things that God has allowed me to do. God's got a permissive will. But that's not where the blessings of God are at tonight. The blessings of God are in his perfect will. Now, we experience the perfect will of God when we experience things in our lives, because that's what God has chosen for us. That is his perfect will. Now, let me tell you something tonight. There's a big difference in the two. There's a big difference in the permissive will of God and the perfect will of God. Hear me tonight when I tell you that many Christians, many churches, many ministries, many nations aren't experiencing the full blessings of God today, because they're operating within the permissive will of God and not in the perfect will of God. Amen. I could name you church after church after church that they've got the buildings, they look like a church, they've got the programs, they act like a church, but if the truth be known, they're not in the full will of God. They're only in the permissive will of God. They're doing what looks right. They're acting in the accepted way. But I'm trying not to get way ahead of myself. But let me tell you something tonight. Sometimes the full will of God will cause you to do things that don't look right. He'll cause you to act in ways that people don't accept. But listen tonight, hear me when I tell you, we're not in this way to please each other. We're in this way to please God tonight. And if we would experience revival, y'all come for revival this week, the quickest route I know to revival is for the members of this church to get in the full will of God. that perfect will of God. Let me tell you something. Revival's not going to happen here because Emmanuel Baptist Church gets right with God. Oh, it'll have a spillover, but if you want revival, it's got to begin in the hearts and lives of each and every one of you. Amen. The perfect will of God. The shortest route to it is just get in that perfect will. Now, tonight I want to examine two kings that the prophet Samuel anointed as kings of Israel. Saul and David. And I'm going to draw a parallel with those two kings between the permissive will of God and the perfect will of God. Now tonight I'm going to examine five thoughts. And I'll get these to you a little slower, but let me just run through them. And I might already title this my V sermon. Because I don't do this too often, but this one's alliterated tonight, Jimmy. Not illiterate, alliterated. Amen. Illiterate means it just don't have any sense at all. Alliterated means all the words start with the same letter and either rhyme or something like that. But I'm going to talk, number one, about vigilante arrogance or a vicarious appointment. I'm going to talk, number two, about a vial or a vessel. Number three, a veto or a virtuoso. Number four, a void or a vestige. And number five, a vexing spirit or a victorious spirit. Now, that's my V sermon tonight. Y'all remember those series used to come on TV? V. Amen. Y'all just do that tonight. Instead of saying amen, just go, V. Amen. There you go. There we go. V number one, vigilante arrogance or a vicarious appointment. Vigilante arrogance represents God's permissive will. Now the sons of Samuel who were ruling the people had become corrupt. And the people rose up in vigilante style and demanded that Samuel replace them. And they demanded a king. Now, 1 Samuel 18:19. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. Samuel tried to tell them they didn't want a king. But they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man into his city. The permissive will of God is often rooted in his people failing to hear his man. Failing to hear the word of God from God's man. Verse 19 said they refused to hear the voice of Samuel. I'm going to tell you something. Many churches and many people have slipped from the perfect will of God into maybe the permissive will of God because they refused to hear God's man. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. I didn't call Brother Steve and I didn't say, tell me what to preach about or what I need to hit on or whatever. But let me tell you something. I don't care if it's Brother Steve, me, Brother Jimmy, any of these other preachers. You better watch out what you do with the man of God. And you better listen to him if he's God's man. You better not ignore what he said. And I'm going to tell you what else. You better keep your hands off of God's man. God is fully able to take care of his preacher boys. And let me tell you something. If one of them goes down a wrong road and needs a whooping, God is still able to correct them and whoop the daylights out of them. Amen. He don't need your help doing it. Somebody say amen. Amen. But now listen, that's where it starts when people don't want to hear the man of God. That's also often rooted in wanting to conform to everybody else. Verse 20 says that we also may be like all the nations. They wanted to be like everybody else. Sometimes we slip out of the perfect will into the permissive will of God because we want to do it like every other church does it. You know what? God didn't call you to be every other church. He called you to be who you are. He didn't call you to be every other Christian. He didn't call you to be every other preacher. Now, I'm going to be honest with you tonight. One of the most liberating days in my life as a young preacher was when I discovered the only person God wanted me to be was me. Amen. I tell you what, if I heard Billy Graham the week before when I first started preaching, when I got in my first church, bless God, I had to be Billy Graham that week. If I heard Oral Roberts, and I was Oral Roberts. If I heard Jimmy Swaggart, I was Jim. Well, amen. If whoever I heard, that's who I had to
to be. Amen. But you know, one day, God made me realize something, Jimmy Blanton. He made me realize that although I could never do what they do, they can't do what God called me to do. And ain't that liberating tonight to know that God just wants you to be you? And you ought not have no problem being you. Amen. That's good preaching. Amen. Now note, God said to Samuel in verse 22, and Jehovah said to Samuel, now listen to what the Bible says, hearken unto, what's that next word? Their voice, and make who? Them a king. This was God's permissive will. This was not God's perfect will. This is not what he wanted for his children. But see, they wanted it. And they were rising up in vigilante style and demanding. And God said, all right, you want it, you got it. Boy, what a problem. What a problem. But on the other side of that coin, we see the perfect will of God was a vicarious appointment. Now, I had to look that up in the dictionary. I'm not that smart. But vicarious means substitutionary. They had chosen the king they wanted or demanded the king, but God in his perfect plan would make a vicarious appointment, the perfect one. And you look in 1 Samuel 16:1, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite. Now listen to this, he said, for who? I have provided who? Me. What? A king among his sons. The perfect will of God revolves around God's wishes, not man's wishes. Now you gotta understand, they picked Saul because he stood a head and a shoulder above everybody else. Why, surely he was the obvious choice. But let me tell you, God's choice wasn't the obvious choice, and I'm getting ahead of myself. God's choice was a little shepherd boy who his daddy, it didn't even get on his radar screen when the man of God said, God's going to choose the next king of Israel from your sons. Little David didn't even come on his radar screen. But I got news for you. God chooses those that the world looks over. Well, amen. The perfect will of God is often revealed in strange places and in strange ways. He was an unlikely candidate for a king. Amen. You're looking at an unlikely candidate for a preacher, much less an associational missionary. Now, I'm going to tell you what. I don't talk right. I guess y'all figured that out. I use phrases like ain't and fixin' to and ain't never gonna. Amen. Y'all, but you know what? Y'all understand it. And I was minding my own business, fully planning on retiring down at Roper Heights Baptist Church. You know what? God didn't even have the audacity, without even asking my permission, put me in this position. You know what? The people of Troop County, Georgia, God played a joke on them. Amen. Well, that neither way. God, you know, folks come from strange backgrounds, strange places. God chooses unlikely candidates. But we've looked at the vigilante arrogance versus a vicarious appointment. But let's look at another thing in this story. Let's look at a vial or a vessel. Now, I just might get raptured right here. And if I do, Brother Steve, you can finish this message. I got it all noted up here. Okay. Let's look at the permissive will. What is the permissive will of God? The permissive will was a vial. 1 Samuel 10:1. Then Samuel took the vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because Jehovah has anointed thee prince over his inheritance? Now there's two things you got to see in this verse. The word vial makes a mental reference to a little bitty bottle of oil. And then he said, God has anointed thee, what's that next word? Prince. Does not say king in this reference, but it says prince. That word there, prince, means captain over the inheritance. Now, I'm going to tell you something now. Y'all ain't getting this, are you? A captain is a nice rank. But let me tell you something. It ain't the highest rank. There's a commander-in-chief position that was available. And the Lord is going through the prophet, and the Lord's telling this, now I'm not going to anoint him as the commander-in-chief. I will let you make a captain out of him, but now I got another commander-in-chief in store for you. You see, that's the permissive will of God. And it means a little vow. But you know what the perfect will of God was? Now this is going to get you on shouting ground. Go over with me back again. I'm flipping back and forth to 1 Samuel 16:1. Now here comes the perfect will of God. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Now look at here. He says, fill thy horn with oil. Now here's the difference in the anointing. The permissive will of God will get you a little bitty anointing. Hello. The perfect will of God will get you a long horn full of oil and the anointing. It's, you know, oh Lord, thank you Jesus. You know, see that's what the problem is. Some folks are in the permissive will of God and their motto is, a little dab will do you. We got real cream Christians. You children don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But these old folks do. Hey, there used to be a hair tonic that come in a cream form that you rubbed in your hands and you put that grease in your hair. And their motto was, a little dab will do you. Now, y'all have learned something tonight. Amen. Y'all have learned what old folks know. Amen. You know what? They work under that. Churches work under that motto. Oh, well, we just want a little dab, preacher. Bring a little anointing with you. Well, you know, Baptist churches, we can't have the full anointing. My Lord, preacher, they might think we're Pentecostal. Amen. I got news for you. They say, oh, well, preacher, if we go to raising our hands and if we go to saying amen or clapping, they might think we're charismatic. I go to some church in Jimmy Blatton, you've been to them too. You want to tell them, oh, no. They would never make that mistake about y'all. They might make the mistake and think you're dead, but not charismatic. Amen. You want me to come hold the mic, do you say amen to all your people here? But you know what? Amen. We need the full anointing. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, when the full anointing comes, you're just liable to break out and shout all over the place. Baptist killed me. You see, I'll just go ahead and tell you. I was saved and raised in a church that had a Baptist sign out in front, but it might as well have been a holiness church. I mean, they would cut up big time. They'd get the shouting all over the place. And you know, these dignified Baptists, if they get that little dab on them, they'll get four or five little goosebumps running up, and this is the way they'll do. They'll go, ooh. Ooh. I just cut loose and go, whoa! Be like old hard lead better than that Mississippi squirrel. Whoa, something got a hold of me. Amen. Glory to God. Get the full anointing. You know what? I get emotional. And some folks don't like that. Sometimes I'll shout. Sometimes I'll run. Sometimes I'll stand and squall. Sometimes I can't say nothing at all. But when the full anointing begins to flow, honey, you ain't worried about it. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. They folks that look at me and say, he's crazy. Well, let me tell you something. They think something's wrong with me. I'm telling you, if you think something's wrong with me in that prayer, I'll get worse. Amen. I want a double relapse of it because I'm having a good time. Amen. Thank God when he saved me, he gave me something I could feel. Amen. Now, Dad, I don't want this little dabble to do your business. I don't want no mistakes to be made about it. You know, too many worship services are like a funeral service. The only thing that's missing is the body. You got dead songs sang by dead Christians and dead sermons preached by dead preachers to dead folks sitting in dead pews, and we wonder
why the world's dying and going to hell in a handbasket. I'm just running a rabbit right here, right now. This is coming up and it's going to come out and have nothing to do with the sermon. We had a tragedy occur in LaGrange last week. Young man was shot and killed, a young teenager, and it was a horrible thing. And I mourn with that family, pray for them, I'm not making light of that situation at all. But it wasn't but a few days later that there came a letter to the editor in the paper in LaGrange, and it was placing all the blame on guns. You know what? It just made me step back and think. Guns ain't the problem. Blaming the death on a gun is like blaming failing a test on the pencil. I remember in my lifetime when boys like me would bring their rifles to school, walk down the hall with them, go into the shop to blue the barrel or rework the stock, and nobody thought anything about it. I want to tell you what the problem is. The problem is we're not in the anointing of God. We've been in the permissive will, and I don't know how much longer God's going to permit. Amen. Judgment is coming. Amen. Amen. I got to get back to my notes. Amen. The perfect will was that horn. It was the full anointing of God. But tonight I've looked at the vigilante arrogance versus a vicarious appointment. I'm looking at the vial versus the vessel. But now I want to look at the veto or the virtuoso. Now, the permissive will of God, now hear what I'm saying. The permissive will of God will eventually bring God's veto. God's only going to permit for so long. Oh, you're not getting this, are you? Let me say it again. America today is living in the permissive will of God. There's no way under God's green earth that we're in His perfect will. We say that we're one nation under God, but that's a lie. We're one nation under many gods. Amen. We say that in God we trust, but yet we won't let our little children pray to that God in school. Help me a little bit. We don't want to say a pledge of allegiance and put under God in a pledge. Yeah, no, we're not in debt. Churches have become anemic, and we wonder why. We're not in the full will of God, the perfect will. But we're in that permissive will. But let me tell you something. It's going to run out sooner or later. Judgment's coming. Amen. Again, 1 Samuel 16:1. He talks about it. The full horn. But he rejected him. Now listen, 1 Samuel 16:1 said, and the Lord said unto Samuel, hear this, hear me. How long wilt thou mourn for Saul? Listen to this next verse. Seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. God said, you want a little dab? I'll give you a little dab for a little while. But with every little dab in that permissive will, there's going to come a veto from God when he said, oh no, I let you have your way for a little while, but it's over with now. The games are over with. And I'm going to do what's my perfect will. Oh Lord, I want to preach right there. Because we got too many people playing too many little games. Church is a game to them. God's a game to them. Their families are a game. It's all a game. But I'm going to tell you something. There's going to come a time God's going to blow the whistle. There's going to come a time He's going to throw the flag and the penalty is going to be assessed. The veto's coming. My, 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 my. Oh, I can't get off of that. A veto is coming. You people may think they're getting by with things. Y'all help me just a little bit. Talking about enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh, I'm doing my own thing, preacher. You might as well run fingernails down a chalkboard than to say the next statement to me, and I hear it too many times. People look me in the eye and they'll say, me and the man upstairs have got it worked out, preacher. Well, let me give you one little clue right here. He ain't no man upstairs. How dare you? How dare me? How dare anybody to refer to the holy God who
sin, to have the unmitigated gall to look him in the face and say he's the man upstairs. No. He's holy God. 24 elders are before the throne crying, holy, holy, holy. Whew. You know what? I'll get back to them notes in a minute. But you know what? I've heard folks say, and I've said it myself, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to sit down by the tree of life or go over here by the river of life or maybe run up and down to heaven. You know what? I don't think we're going to do much of that. I think we're just going to be. So I cried, holy, holy, holy. Amen. But listen now, there come a veto. But on the other side of that, in God's perfect will, he'll make you a virtuoso. Now, y'all know what a virtuoso is. Is anybody who has a talent, like a musical talent, a violinist, who excels? They're masters of their talent. 1 Samuel 16:14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee that he shall play with his hand and thou shalt be well. Oh, there's something in there. Guess who it was that was the virtuoso? It was the little boy David who had been anointed to be the next king of Israel. Oh, you don't get this though. But the Spirit of God had departed from Saul. An evil spirit had came upon him. He was in a bad humor, a bad frame of mind. Nothing was going good. But then God, through those servants, says, go get the other little king. Go get the one who's in my perfect will. Bring him before this one who's in the permissive will. And the talent that is within him, I will so magnify it and so bring it out that because he's there, the evil spirit will be calmed. Oh my Lord, folks, y'all aren't getting this, are you? We're talking about revival. Let me tell you something. You got a church that's probably filled with a whole lot of folks who are trying to operate in the permissive will of God. And when they're in the permissive will of God, there's an evil spirit that's with them. There's a troublesome spirit that's with them. There's no peace on either hand. You got folks that have walked through that back door mad at you before they ever get in here. You got folks that's looking for some reason to get their feelings hurt. You got folks that have come in with their feelings right there on their shoulder. And Steve, man hadn't got any better sense than to knock it off. Amen. And they'll get mad. But let me tell you something. When all of that happens, what do we need? Do we need to run them out? Do we need to light them up and shoot them? No. What we need is for those who are in the perfect will of God, who God has refined their talent and made them a virtuoso, for them to come in and do what God has gifted them to do, and to calm the spirit, to calm the trouble, kill them with kindness, love them to death. Oh man, I want to run. David didn't come in and say, Saul, God's done talked to me. See, Saul, you don't know it, but there's been a prophet in my daddy's house. I'm going to take your job, boy. I'm going to get you. He didn't do that, but he came in humble and he said, I have an anointing of God to do what he wants me to do. And he began to minister to the one who was out of the will of God. He loved him. He gave him what he had to give him, and he made the situation better. Whoa! Man, I wish all my churches could hear this tonight. I got deacons wanting to fire preachers. Preachers wanting to fire deacons. Sunday school members wanting to have a lynch mob show up. But that ain't what we need. We need the virtuosos to show up. Whew. I done been it, in it. As a good friend of mine used to say, he'd look at me and he'd say, preacher,
and I live too long, done seen too much. I can empathize with what he's saying. I done seen it. I've been around the block in these churches. And I've seen it when the troubles would break out. But I've also seen it when some dear saint of God would stand. And if only they could begin to minister in the anointing God gave them. Maybe it's some little gray-haired mother of the church who would stand and maybe begin to sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Or maybe some father of the church stand and say, I remember little Johnny or Susie when they was knee-high to a grasshopper. And how we done this together and that. And they reason together. And the music begins to flow. The melody comes forth. Because the virtuosos are performing.
Amen.
Oh my Lord have mercy. What if David had looked at him and said, Nah, I can't go. I'll see y'all in about 15 years when I take the kingdom. Nah, I ain't going. He said, I'll go. I'm anointed to be a king, but I'm not too good to play my harp.
Amen.
I'm anointed to be a king, but I'm not too good to be the armor bearer for the one who's not in God's perfect will.
Amen.
God will raise me up when the time is right. But right now, I just got to do what I can in the way that I can. I may not get no further than this tonight. Brother Aaron, what are you talking about? I'm saying this. Do things like this. When you see your preacher in the heat of the battle, just fall on your knees somewhere. Start interceding for him.
Amen.
Call him up one morning when you're in your quiet time. Say, Brother Steve, I'm about to go to the Lord in prayer. Is there something I can pray for you about? Oh, you're talking about him hearing the melody. Oh, Lord, come take the preacher and his wife and to say, get ready, we'll be there about 6 o'clock. Clear your calendar for the evening and take them to an expensive restaurant, not McDonald's or Burger King. And tell them, say, Steve, Sherry, order what you want. This one's on me. Whew. You're talking about hearing the harp playing and hearing the music and the melody. And I'll tell you what, they hear enough of these old hard heads that said, a little dab will do me. No, 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 no. Get the horn. Get your horn. You know what? I'm enjoying my own preaching tonight. Amen. Ain't you glad that God didn't tell him, mount your steed and go riding and say the Calvary's coming over the hill. But hey, don't forget your gun. Get your vessel. And when you get there, don't get put a little dot on him like we do. You know, if you get churches that believe in anointing, which you ain't getting a hold of, they'll take and put a little dot on it like that. Little dab there. Nah! Go up to him and just pour the whole thing on him. Don't hold none of it back.
Amen.
My Lord. My Lord. Ain't that right tonight? Amen. It don't have to be the preacher. It can be Sally Jane or Fred or Susie. Just make a habit. When's the last time you did a random act of anonymous kindness to somebody? Whew. Pour it all on them. All in the vessel ain't no good, is it? It's got to get out of the vessel. My, 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 my. Well, glory. We've looked tonight at vigilante arrogance or a vicarious appointment, a vial or a vessel, a veto or a virtuoso. But tonight I want to look, number four, at a void or a vestige. 1 Samuel 16:14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit of the Lord troubled him. And let me tell you something, when the Spirit of God or the anointing departs, there's a huge void that is left. the permissive will of God will always wind up with a void in your life. When the Spirit of God departs, now listen to me, you're going to be filled with something. So then when the perfect will, the Spirit of God departs, leaves you wide open for something else to fill your vessel. You remember the parable of the unclean spirits leaving a man? He said when they'd gone, the man cleans it up. When that spirit comes back, he finds it clean, but he also finds it empty. Oh, my Lord. Y'all didn't hear that, did you? He finds it clean, but he finds it empty. If the devil comes driving by this church and he looks in and finds it clean, that ain't going to stop him from coming in. But you know what's going to stop him from coming in? When it's full to the brim and he can't get in. Amen. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Are you going to be filled with one spirit or the other? You're either going to be filled with the permissive spirit or the perfect will of God. Amen. Now I'll tell you what. If you want to keep the trouble away, you better make sure you're filled up with the glory of God. My. And he said when he comes, he brings his buddies with him. Brings seven spirits worse than he is. And I'm going to tell you something. And I'm heading toward the house. I done called and got the runway lights turned on this sermon. Of course, I have been known to circle for an hour and a half too. Amen. You know, I heard a little saying the other day. I sure did like it. It said, blessed is the pastor whose train of thought has a caboose. I like that. Amen. Do you know what? The perfect will of God never leaves a void. How can I say that? Because Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, not pick your own king, not get them one. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. No voids when we're in his will. We've looked at the vigilante arrogance or the vicarious appointment, a vial or a vessel, a veto or a virtuoso, a void or a vestige. But finally tonight I look at a vexing spirit or a victorious spirit. The permissive will always produces a vexing spirit. Trouble. Trouble. Have you ever met people that aren't happy unless something's wrong? Amen. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Folks who've always got trouble on everything. You know there's folks that you don't dare ask them how they're doing. They will tell you. And you'll get depressed and have to go to the doctor and buy medicine and spend money. So you just don't ask them. Amen. A vexing spirit, always something wrong. But you know what the perfect will of God produces? A victorious spirit. Oh, David's one of my heroes, and he is yours too. But in 1 Samuel 17:29, let me read a little bit of that. It says, now David's at the battle with the Philistines. I'm talking about Goliath now. And the armies are on either side of the hill, and Goliath is down in the valley in between, taunting them, making fun of them, saying, you send out your man and come let him fight me, that giant. And he said, if he wins, then y'all win, and if I win, we win. We won't have this. We'll just do it the simple way. And all that army of Israel was cowered down until a little boy, my, in the perfect will of God, happened on the scene. You know what he said? I'm putting this in there in English. What's going on here? This, can't you just see him do like this, walk onto the scene, Steve? This is Aaron, David. He goes, what is wrong with this picture? Here we are, the army of the Most High God, and y'all sniveling down like one of them professional wrestlers, the losers on a professional. Y'all ever noticed them professional losers that's on wrestling? You got these guys come out there, and they get so muscled up that their muscles has got muscles. And then they bring a guy out to fight them like me. 6'5", 265 pounds of lean, mean, fighting flab. Amen.
And you look at it and say, well, I wonder who's going to win this fight. Well, I don't even know why I got off on that. But then the man in the perfect will of God, though, you know what he says? Is there not a cause? Because you see, he didn't have a vexing spirit. He had a victorious spirit. He says, I'm going in, and I ain't going to take many names. Amen. He said, I'm going to go take care of business because God's not going to fail me. See, he already knew he'd been anointed king. He knew Goliath couldn't kill him. Come to 15 years, he had to be king. And if Goliath killed him, he couldn't be king. Boy, that's profound, ain't it? 1 Samuel 17:34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. Bad day for the lion and the bear. They made an error. And I went out after them and smote them and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. Now, you tell me that ain't a victorious spirit talking. Amen. He ought to took care of a lion and a bear. What's Chump Boy over there going to do to me? Amen. Nothing. 10-foot-tall and bulletproof. Of course, they didn't know what bullets were back then. But anyway. But David said, moreover, the Lord had delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He would deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. My. David slew Goliath. Y'all remember that. And David became the greatest king Israel in the world has ever known. Why? Because he was a man after God's own heart. He was an anointed man. But David represents the perfect will of God. Now, as I close this sermon tonight, and we're about 2 minutes away from wheels down, which are you tonight, church? Are you a vigilante in your arrogance, saying, God, we want it our way? Or are you enjoying a vicarious appointment where God said, you had it your way, but now we're going to have it my way? Are you a vial or a vessel? Are you just running around with your little dab, do you? Or are you saying, Lord, whoo, pour it on me, Lord. Ain't that what Peter told the Lord? He said, oh, no, you ain't going to wash my feet. And he says, if I don't wash your feet, I ain't got nothing to do with it. You ain't going to have nothing to do with me. It's over, bud. He said, oh, Lord, not my feet only, but my head. And I probably think, get everything else while you're going, Lord. Just pour it out on me.
Amen.
Are you a vial or a vessel? Are you experiencing a veto or are you being a virtuoso? Is there a void in your life or a vestige of Jesus Christ in your life? Is there a vexing spirit or a victorious spirit? Are you in God's permissive will tonight or are you in His perfect will? Now I'm about to go to my seat, but here is the question of the night that must be answered. Are you operating with a little bitty vial, a little bitty bottle, or have you got a great big horn? You know. And only you know. God bless you.
Amen. Amen.